Time to talk some Pac-12 football. He's an analyst, a studio host, does radio, played college ball at Iowa, spent time in the NFL, now doing his thing for the Pac-12 Network. Follow on Twitter, the handle at Big Ant Heron. Anthony Heron joins us. Anthony, been a while. How are things?
Things are outstanding, you know, especially now that we're just kind of on the precipice of the college football season. It's kind of the most wonderful time of the year, if you ask me. I guess the only thing that's missing at this point is just some sort of a holiday theme song to go with it.
So, summer-wise, I know you're a big Cubs guy. Have you made it out to Wrigley to salute the champs, play any golf? What have you been up to?
It's been a busy summer. It really has. Yes, I've done, especially because I do a good amount of radio and television work in the Chicago area. So, yeah, I've been to Cubs games. I've been to Sox games. Covered the NFL draft during the spring, so I was on the road a lot for that with some of my media duties that I have there. And also, I've actually got my first kid on the way. So it's a busy time with that. Wife and I are looking for a new house. So I've been kind of running around everywhere.
That's all you got going on, huh?
Yeah, just a little bit busy here lately.
Well, congratulations on your new child coming. That's just awesome. I saw on your Twitter feed you appeared on WUMP Radio in Alabama, and the subject of Chip Kelly popped up, obviously near and dear to Duck fans, now an ESPN analyst. If you had a crystal ball, would you think he's going to be one of those guys who settles in behind the mic like John Gruden, NFL another try, or maybe return to the college game?
I believe eventually he'll return to coaching, probably sooner rather than later, by my estimation. Now, I did think John Gruden would return to coaching pretty soon, too, so I was wrong about Coach Gruden. But to me, with Chip Kelly, I believe initially he still has the NFL in his DNA. He feels like, you know, he had some success there early, and some things just didn't sort of work out for him from there. So I believe that's part of why he's not in coaching right now. He certainly had some opportunities to return to the college game if he would have wanted to do that. But he decided that he wanted to go into broadcasting. My guess is that may just last for a season. If an NFL opportunity comes, I'm guessing Chip Kelly will jump at that. But if not, that's where I'd anticipate he'll be willing to return to the college game. But right now, I think NFL is still his first goal.
Yeah, I agree with that. Let's jump to the Pac-12. You look at the quarterback position, the Southern California schools, the Washington schools, Justin Herbert here. I think Utah and Colorado are set. Maybe some questions at some other schools, but safe to say the quarterbacking in this league looks like it's going to be as strong as any in the country.
I really believe so. I mean, it was just a few seasons back, Steve, where it seemed to me that the Pac-12 had the deepest quarterback crop in the country. And you look at last season, it was more of a running back heavy conference, and there wasn't that much experience at the quarterback position. But now all the returning starters at quarterback for so many teams around the conference, in Washington, Washington State, Oregon with Justin Herbert, and even a team like Colorado, where Steven Montez didn't start the entire season, started a few games and had a lot of experience in several other games. So I view Steven Montez in Colorado as a returning starter. Then you get into USC, you get into Utah, you go to UCLA. And so just top to bottom throughout the conference, the quarterback play should be stellar this coming season. With that being the most important position in sports, then there's not a doubt to me that the Pac-12 will be extremely deep this year.
I want to get to USC. Obviously, Sam Darnold, they've got some talent running it, good receiving core, did lose their tackles. The defense was not great last year, but, you know, they did win the Rose Bowl. But while it seems, you know, a lot of people are high on this Trojan team, in that interview you did, sounded like you saw some reasons to think it's not quite a done deal that they're back ruling the Pac-12?
I would say USC is the odds-on favorite, and I do believe they're going to win the Pac-12. To me, the difference between USC as a division championship contender, a conference championship contender, that versus being a national championship contender, to me, will be whether or not Sam Darnold can protect the football in a more consistent way. Because as he got into the lineup last year, they knew he had a flair for the dramatic, the ability to make the big play, the splash play. And he proved himself throughout the season that he could operate at a high level from within the pocket as well. So his offensive coordinator, T. Martin, his head coach, Clay Helton, they really basically accepted the fact that as a young football player, he was likely to turn the football over as he went for for some of those splash plays. I don't know if that's going to be enough for USC this season, though. And so that's, to me, where Sam Darnold will need to take his game to another level, not just the flair for the dramatic or, you know, some of these plays that are going to make big time, you know, Pac-12, 12 best kind of highlights. He needs to make sure snap in and snap out, his teammates can count on him to get the ball to them and not the opponent.
We're talking with Anthony Herron of the Pac-12 Network. I saw last week on Twitter you mentioned a loss to the Iowa football family. Bob Elliott, who was a Hawkeye coach when you played there, young guy, only 64, and in your post you explained his role in your becoming a Hawkeye. So for those who are not familiar, what could you tell us about Coach Elliott and the impact he had on you as a young man?
I get to cover recruiting so closely just because I also call the U.S. Army All-American Bowl every year for NBC, and so I'm seeing kids on the trail all the time, and so folks ask me about recruiting quite a bit, and I just think back to my time, it was really 20 years ago when I was going through the process of being a college football recruit, and at the time, you know, I thought that maybe I wouldn't want to choose the school just based off the coach, and then there were just certain personalities that just felt so ingrained in what I was looking for as a coach and what I wanted my college experience to be like. And Bobby Elliott was the defensive coordinator at Iowa. He worked for Hayden Fry, and they were there my first 2 years at the university. And the effect he had on me as a guy who, I was always young for my class in grade school and in high school. I was a 17-year-old true freshman going to play college football. I didn't have any desires on stepping on the field right away. He instilled the confidence in me that I needed to recognize I could play defensive line in the Big Ten. I could do it right away. I had the talent to go to the National Football League. And so I think back to moments that I spent with Bobby Elliott, who he was as a man. And I believe there's just so many coaches today who coach youth football and amateur football, whether you're talking high school or college, who don't recognize that there's an effect you will have, whether you want to or not, when you're a coach who spends so much time around young athletes. You will have an effect on these people that will last throughout the rest of their lives. That is a deep responsibility, and Bobby Elliott was a guy who took that responsibility seriously. I got so many positive things from him, and it's part of what I try to impart when I coach camps and when I do drills and when I work with kids on a daily basis at different times, because it's a serious responsibility that we should all recognize coaches have.
Amazing, and condolences on losing somebody so important to you. I want to get to some Duck football. They just had their worst season in a quarter century. Willie Taggart takes over. Spent some time in the Pac-10 then during the Harbaugh years at Stanford. So the defense last year and year before we know was terrible. But considering all those issues with the positive, Royce Freeman, Justin Herbert, the line, what's reasonable to expect year one under Coach Tags?
Bowl game. You know, I don't think we're going to look at Oregon football as being a team that's immediately back in the national championship discussion. And I think that the depth of the Pac-12 North is, you know, it is a little sapped by comparison to the South. There's more teams in the hunt in the South than there are in the North. I think Washington and Washington State, to me, are the two picks to click, maybe Stanford beyond that. I don't see the Oregon Ducks being a division title contender, but what I do see is a team that should be right back in the bowl mix. What's going to happen this season that really interests me is whether or not on the defensive side of the football, the toughness that Willie Taggart says he really wants to instill in this outfit, will that come through on the defensive side of the football? And in getting Jim Leavitt, bringing him in, I mean, that was the top assistant coaching acquisition in the entire country. And Jim Leavitt has had a level of success every stop he's been in year one. Now, year two is where things go to another level. But I expect defensively the Oregon Ducks to look like a very different outfit right away because of who Willie Taggart was able to hire on that side of the football.
Couple final thoughts for Anthony Herron of the Pac-12 Network. For years, many wondered, what would happen if Chris Peterson left Boise State for one of the big boys? Well, year three takes Washington to the playoff. They got a great backfield. A chunk of their secondary's now in the NFL, and their non-conference schedule looks soft. How comfortable are we saying that they really look like the class of the North?
I believe they are. You know, they did lose that secondary to the NFL, but there's so many other players up and down that roster who returned from a team that made the college football playoff last year. You know, chief amongst them, Jake Browning at quarterback. But when you look up and down their offense, the bulk of the offensive line returns. The bulk of the running back position returns. So many wide receivers are back now. John Ross III, the most dynamic, the most explosive weapon we saw in college football last year. Yes, he's now gone to the National Football League, but the great thing that Chris Peterson's offense has always done, even going back to his time at Boise State, is they don't go week in and week out just featuring one receiver if they're going to target over and over again. So John Ross made plenty of plays in the offense last season, but they've got Dante Pettis, who's back this year, and a slew of other weapons around him. So while Pettis will be the lead target, you know, you've still got so many other guys like Eric Fuller, Chico McClatcher, other playmakers who are going to be around him that Jake Browning can feed the football to. Defensive side of the football, one of the most fun bunches in the country, not just because of what they do schematically, but because of how hard they play. And I do believe that Azeem Victor is coming back healthy, and he's just one of the most ferocious inside linebackers we've seen in this generation of Pac-12 football. So for him being back for another season, if he wasn't injured, he'd be in the NFL right now as well. So it really worked out pretty well for Washington. He got hurt late in the season, and they get another season of a healthy Azeem Victor to lead their D.
And finally, the team 45 miles to the north of me. Shaky first season under Gary Anderson. 4 wins last year, 3 in league. Beat Oregon in the Civil War. They've got some questions at quarterback. Lost Victor Bolden. So year 3 of his program, what do you expect from the Beavs? More of a struggle? Improve? What's your crystal ball telling you?
The Beavs need to be in the bowl hunt. I'd be curious to see what they look like in the preseason, because for me, when I get to watch different teams in training camp, that's when you, of course, have a better look in person. And I remember last season when I went to Boulder during our training camp tour on the Pac-12 Network, and in the preseason, getting up an in-person look at Colorado, we got off the TV that day, and Mike Aaron was there, Curtis Conway was there with me. I told both of them on the Pac-12 Network, Colorado's making a bowl game because of what I saw in person throughout that day. So I hope I get a chance to look at the Beavs in person during training camp this year, because my estimation is that from what I've seen of Gary Anderson in years past at different stops, whether it was at Utah State or Wisconsin, his program really begins to just really grab hold year by year. If he's planted the seeds of toughness and he gets a scheme in place, he gets players in tune with how he wants them to operate both on the field and off. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if Oregon State makes a bowl game. I just want to see what they look like physically in person before I gain more confidence about that.
All right. He's Anthony Herron of the Pac-12 Network, NBC Sports, 670 The Score in Chicago. Great follow on Twitter. Use @BigAntHerron. Anthony, always appreciate your time and insight. Congrats on the news. You're going to be a daddy. Enjoy the rest of the summer. Travel safe and look forward to talking to you once again when the season starts.
We definitely have to do this again. I really appreciate your time, buddy.
All right, have a good one.